Galatians chapter number 5, where we're going to begin reading tonight. We'll stay in Galatians chapter number 5 for the majority of the time tonight. It's amazing how it was just there on Sunday, and I just kept reading a little bit as I got home and just kind of fit right into what we wanted to talk about for tonight. But as you know, we started a couple of weeks ago when we began talking about living the good life. And I felt like when we started this little study or little series, whatever you want to call it, that we would take some left turns and some right turns and chase a few rabbits along the way as we went through this, because there is such a broad definition of living the good life, and it actually is going to cross paths of the definition of living the good life and then what is expected of as we live the good life. But in Galatians chapter number 5 tonight, we're going to begin reading in just a few minutes. We're going to talk about living the good life and, well, what happens in our life when we live the good life. But if you remember from a couple of weeks ago, the first Wednesday night that we began talking about living the good life, we just talked a few minutes and done an introduction on living the good life. And then the next Wednesday night, we talked about what does it take for me to live the good life. And we talked about denying ourselves, taking up our cross and following Christ. We talked about forsaking all and following Christ. We talked about that he must increase and we must decrease. Just trying to hit the high spots to kind of reiterate what we talked about through the couple of Wednesday nights. Last Wednesday night, we talked about the widow who gave two mites and how that everybody else probably thought the men who were casting in much were living the good life, but Jesus took notice of the little lady that gave everything that she had when she cast in her two mites. So tonight we're going to start in Galatians chapter number 5. The thought going to be is, what does living the good life look like? What will it produce in your life? What will you get from living the good life? And I know we have, like I said, we've chased a couple of rabbits in the middle of this and kind of switched gears of what living the good life looks like. But tonight, you know, when I talk about living the good life, I'm talking about a lot of the actions that we have in our life and whether our life looks like Christ or not. You know, and if we get to the place that our life looks like Christ and reflects Christ, then we're living the good life. Galatians chapter number 5, let's begin reading with verse number 16. I wanted to start with verse number 16 because, as you'll see in just a minute, we're going to see the opposite of what living the good life is, so we can compare and contrast a little bit. So verse number 16, the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, I know every time that we see lust of the flesh, our mind goes in one direction, but there's all kinds of different lusts that can come into our life that our flesh tries to drag us into, and that our flesh tries to get us to where we're not walking in the Spirit. But notice what it says right here. It says, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." If you're having trouble, and if I'm having trouble with my flesh, and I'm having trouble with my life wanting to be out of God's will, and if you, whether you like this a definition or this explanation or not, if you're not careful, your flesh will drag you out of the will of God, and your flesh likes to live out of the will of God. Your spirit on the inside, that's the reason the Bible tells us that there's a constant war between the flesh and the spirit. Your flesh, it feels good to the flesh to live outside of the will of God. Because what are we doing when we're living by the flesh? We're not denying ourselves any longer. We're fulfilling ourselves. We're fulfilling the flesh. And look, the Bible says, if you want to walk in the Spirit, it says, "Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So if you find yourself fulfilling your flesh all the time, and if I find myself fulfilling my flesh, I won't try to sugarcoat it. You're not walking in the Spirit. I mean, that's just kind of what it says right here in Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 16. Verse number 17, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other." Notice it doesn't say anything about them supplementing each other or complementing each other at all. It says that these are contrary, or however you want to say it, these two things go against each other all the time. Now, I know there are people in your life that you feel like they are against you all the time. That's kind of the way that the flesh and the spirit are. I mean, they're just a constant battling against each other. Sometimes it seems like there's people in our life that no matter what you do, they're going to do opposite. No matter what you say, they want opposite. And that's kind of the way that the flesh and the spirit are. Verse number 18, "But if you be led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh," notice in verse number 19 as we read, "Now the works," plural, "the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. You know, in case any of those others didn't hit home with you, when it gets to the end and he says, and such like, I think he just got in all of his tater patch right there. I mean, if you look and say, well, adultery, no, I'm not guilty of that. Fornication, not guilty of that. Lasciviousness, not guilty of that. But when he gets down to where he says, and such like, and he goes, and whatever you're doing, it's kind of what he's saying there in that verse. He said, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There are a lot of people that want to cut that scripture short right there. They want to take it out of context and say, oh, and they want to go with this thought that, oh, if I mess up, I'm no longer saved. That's not what the Bible's saying right there. But if my life is committed to those actions, if that is the way that I practice my life and I don't have the Spirit of God on the inside of me that is tearing my heart up when I'm doing these things, then I'm not saved. I don't know how else to tell that to you, but that's what the Bible is saying right here. Verse number 22, I want you to look how this says. Notice that as we went back and we talked about the works of the flesh, it was plural. But I want to show you now, we looked at this, and this is a life outside of the will of God. This is not living the good life. Now, people who are caught up in some of these things, they look at some of these things and say, oh yeah, those things are good. Those things are fun. Those things are, that's party time, you know, as we read those verses right there. But if you want to live the good life, we're fixing to get into the good life in verse number 22. But the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is. Now, you notice that it didn't say, but the fruits of the Spirit are. It says the fruit of the Spirit is. And that's because we're getting ready to get into some things as we study these words for just a few minutes tonight. We're getting ready to get into some things that if we are living Christ-like, and if we are living the good life, and we're doing our best to walk in the ways that God has commanded us, and the ways that we should want to walk, we should have a desire to walk after Christ. We shouldn't walk after Christ all the time because we feel like some. And notice I said all the time, because there are times that we walk after Christ because that's not what we know we're supposed to do. But the majority of our life, we should walk after Christ and want to look like God and try to seek God in our lives because we love Him so much because He first loved us. That's the reason that we should want to live the good life. But as you look right here and it says, and the fruit of the Spirit is, these things that we're getting ready to get into in a total package will appear in your life if we're living the good life. If we're trying to be Christ-like, it won't be, well, I'm going to pick out one here and one there and one over there, and I'm going to let that be evident in my life. I think there's some things that we may get into in just a moment that you may have to concentrate on, that you may have to look at and say, well, I'm not good at this, so I'm going to work hard to try to be able to allow this to reflect in my life, in sports and anything that you do. My girls, if I take them out on the softball field and one of them is struggling with hitting, they're not doing a good job hitting, but they're being really good in their defense, what do you think we work on when we go to the field? We work on hitting. We might work a few minutes on defense, but we're going to work on hitting. And as we look at what we're looking at tonight, we'll look at these things, and there might be some things that you go, you know, I don't struggle with that. And then there might be one somewhere along the line that you go, oh, that one hurts. You know, we're talking about sometimes we leave church limping. Well, I want to tell you something. As I studied some of these, God stepped on my toes, and I ended up limping. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. If we're living the good life, these things are going to be evident in our life. Now, listen. I had to do praying between the house and here in order to be able to teach this tonight because I just left a middle school basketball game. Both of my girls played tonight. Tonight was eighth grade night, Addie's last home game of middle school, and I wanted to go watch my daughters, and I've never seen such bad reffing in all my life. I was sitting there, and I told Autumn, I said, I'm about to explode. I said, I don't know how in the world I'm going to go to church and talk about the love of God the way my mind frame is right now, the way my frame of mind is. And then as I got home and I started looking back over my scripture, you know, it's so sad that those things become, and I say sad, but it's a good thing to be passionate about things that your kids are involved in. But you know what? When those little things are over and they're all said and done, life is so much bigger than what those things. I mean, they're fun and everything, but let's look at this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Okay, I think I got to mark out about four of them from the last hour of my life. Because when things are happening, look, my wife will end up watching this, and I'll end up in the doghouse after a while. But so like I said, the refereeing was terrible tonight. It was, I mean, if they even had a whistle around her, I think they forgot their whistles at home. I think that's what happened. Because it was one of the roughest ball games that I've seen this year. But Addie went down the court tonight, and she fouled a little girl. I mean, she rode her like a horse all the way down the court. And when they finally got to the goal, she was bumping her all the way with her hip. Addie was fouling her, no doubt. And anybody, Ray Charles could see that Addie was fouling her. Okay? So they finally, when they go up for the shot, the ref blew the whistle and called the foul on Addie. Well, there was a parent from the other team that was sitting across the aisle from us. About time you get that little girl off of her. Well, I mean, what he wouldn't have said anything different than what I would have said. But, Mama Bear heard that. I felt her swell up beside of me, and I put my elbow on her and said, he didn't say anything different than what I would have said. I said, you're just taking the offensive because it's your daughter out there. Just calm down. I didn't feel not one bit of love, meekness, joy, or anything in her at that very moment. I felt Mama Bear fixing the pill out, you know. And you know, sometimes this is the way life is, but I had to reset this a little bit as we come to church tonight. But let's look at what the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is, and let's see if these things are evident in our life. Let's see if love is evident in our life, if joy is evident, if peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. So as we look at love tonight, I want to read you the definition that this was actually in the reading of some of the notes in my Bible. Love is the willing, sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of another without the thought of return. How much do we do for other people? How much sacrifice do you really make, a sacrificial giving to someone else without any thought of return whatsoever? Because that's what love is. Think of the greatest example of that in Jesus Christ, as he was willing to come and be a sacrificial lamb for you and I, to come and give his life freely for you and I, that we could have a relationship with him. And when you look at that kind of love, I don't know that I practice a whole lot of love in my life, because if we're not careful, yeah, we love people who are right around us, and we love people who are like us, and we love people that are part of our family, if you will. But sometimes reaching out with real love and having a willing, sacrificial giving of yourself for the benefit of someone else without the thought of a return, I don't know that I exercise that a lot in my life. You know, and God says right here, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, if you walk where I want you to walk, if you're living the good life, then love will be evident in your life. Love will be a trait that other people see in your life, and it'll be something that somebody says and it stands out different than the rest of the world. Joy. As you look at your life, how much joy, just gladness of heart. Sometimes if we're not careful, this life can be so overbearing that we're not only unhappy, but we don't have a lot of joy that we're expressing. It can choke you out just a little bit sometimes, can't it? I mean, there's things that come along in your life. There's things that happen. There's circumstances that happen, or just maybe an everyday circumstance that happens in your life that wants to smother out your joy. But I want to tell you, as we as Christian people are sitting here tonight, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I think a lot of times when I feel my joy getting smothered out, when I feel like that, y'all may not know what I'm talking about, but from time to time, it just gets heavy, and you get to where you go, well, this is going wrong, and that's going wrong, and you feel like your joy is getting smothered. But you know what? It's not about circumstances around us. It's about that we're serving the one true God that is King of all, that is the Lord of lords, that is sitting on the right hand of the Father tonight, and that at some time or the other, that he is going to call us home, and all of this is not going to matter anymore. We get so tied up sometimes in this world that we confuse our joy with happiness, or we allow this world to control our joy. I was on the way to church tonight, and I was thinking, there was a family that was there at the basketball game tonight, and they had a teenage son that was killed in a car wreck a few years back. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching that ball game, and they come to my mind just like that as I come to church, because I was still trying to just cool down. Hey, gotta get them holy britches on before I get to church, so I can't be aggravated about a ball game. By the way, our girls won. We're okay. So I'm on my way to church, and then I got thinking about that, and I said, you know what? Thank God that I have two girls out there running up and down that court, and Silas is in Fort Chiswell tonight somewhere playing. far as I know, everybody is good, everybody's happy. And you know, other than that, I'm glad that I can stand here tonight and know that all three of my kids have made professions of faith. They have relationships with Christ. Just Sunday afternoon, Silas and his girlfriend come in, and he said, we need to talk to you for just a little bit. And they wanted to talk about the Bible and trying to understand some scripture. And what does the Bible say about, man, turn the TV off and let's chat for a while. I was ready for that. You know, and sometimes those kinds of things are where we should draw our joy from. Not that this is happening over here or that's happening over there. Let's not get too caught up in that. But if the fruit of the Spirit, if we're living the good life, this fruit is what's going to be in us. So I'm guilty of two right off the bat. Love, joy, peace. As we look at peace, free from worry. Are you free from worry tonight? What have you got to be worried about? I want to tell you the thing that we should be worried about, and it's probably what we're worried about the least. And that's people who are lost, dying, and on their way to hell. That's the only thing that we have that we should be worried about. That's the only, everything else will take care of itself one way or the other. The other day, I'm sure people around me like me putting their life out on public stage, but here you go. So last Friday, my driver at work had a little accident. Maybe not quite so little, but he had an accident as he was out driving. And he'd never been in an accident before, and when he got back to shop, man, he was just tore up. I mean, just out of the frame. And he come in, I mean, he said, I really thought you was going to fire me as soon as I got back. And I said, well, not today, but I'm going to sleep on it this weekend. That's what's going to happen. So I said, you know, I'm going to just pray about it, and me and him talked a little while. And so we've sitting there talking, and like I said, he was all tore up, just worried that something bad was going to happen. And I looked at him, I said, hey, no matter what happens, I said, I'm going to give you two or three little words out of the Bible that I have to live by sometimes. This too shall pass. No matter what happens here, whether you're working here next week or whether you're not, this sooner or later will go away and you'll go on with life and there's bigger things in life to do. He's a preacher. He understands God's word, and me and him was able to have a good talk about it. But sometimes we get so worried about something that this too shall pass. I've told y'all before, and I think even while I was preaching some messages and told you about this, there were some things going on in my life that I sat back and I worried about things that never happened. Has it been long ago? I got myself to a place that I was laying down at night and trying to go to sleep. Couldn't go to sleep. I'd have to put earbuds in my ear and listen to music or listen to something so my mind would just release and let me go to sleep. Just worried about stuff that never happened. What in the world? When am I going to learn to just say, God, here it is. I'm going to be at peace. I'm not going to worry about this. I'm going to let you have control because I can't do anything about it. I can't fix it or I would have already done it. So here it is, God. So love, joy, and peace. I probably need to just stop right now and let's just pray a little while and go home. But for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Are you long-suffering with others? Are you patient with others? Probably, if we look at our lives, there are people that we are patient with. There are people who are long-suffering with. And then there are people who are already to that last limit, and we've cut them off short. I'm glad that God has been long-suffering with me over and over and over again. I know I've told you before, but especially in my teenage years, man, I knew what God wanted from my life. I knew how God wanted me to walk. I knew how he wanted me to act. And there were times when I fell into little cliques at school or whatever that wasn't godly. And I knew I shouldn't be part of that. I knew I should be doing different. I knew I shouldn't be saying some of the things that I was saying. And man, I'd come to church on Sunday morning and God would get a hold of my heart. And I'd come to the altar at the end of the service, God, please forgive me. God, if you'll just forgive me and help me get just back to where I need to be with you, I won't ever do that again. And next Sunday, you know what I had to do? Run back to the altar and say, God, if you'll just forgive me, I won't ever do that again. I'm glad that God didn't do me like I have done some people and said, man, I've done forgave them two or three times. I'm not doing it anymore. But God just kept picking me up, and God kept saying, keep trying, keep going. He really, truly wants us to repent and turn away from it. Now, don't get me wrong. God don't smile at us when we go, I won't ever do this again. We fall right back in. And God's not just going, well, that's okay. But I'm glad that he says, I love you enough, and I'll continue to forgive you, and I'll continue to pick you up look, he's long-suffering with us. But how long-suffering are we with others? Because if we want to be Christ-like and we want to live that good life, then long-suffering has got to be a fruit. It's got to be part of the fruit that our life produces. And it's impossible for us to be long-suffering with others if we're not showing that we're living the good life and having the fruit of the Spirit to increase in our life. Sometimes being long-suffering is not fun, is it? It's not fun to keep giving people opportunities. It's not fun to keep forgiving. What's the Bible say about forgiveness? How many times? 70 times 7. And if you have counted 490, then you need a life anyway. You need to do something different. But just continue to be long-suffering. Are you really long-suffering? Or are you the kind, hey, somebody cuts you in line? I'm not talking about letting people run over you. God don't expect us to let people run over us. But you got to understand. My daddy told me a long time ago, when I started pastoring the first church that I pastored, and he was giving me some of that good fatherly, pastorly advice. He said, Josh, he said, you got to understand. He said, there's going to be things that come up in church that are maybe things that you have strong convictions about, but here's what you got to think about. When issues come up, are they hills that are worth dying for? And of course, he had a big example of a general in a war that was fighting a battle, and he said, now that hill's worth dying for. Well, there's some hills that are not worth dying for, and there's some things in our life that we're not long-suffering with. I mean, we'll buck up in just a minute, and it's not worth it. You fixing to lose your testimony, you fixing to lose your example, let it go. It'll be all right. I know we've talked about this before, but the Bible says a fool uttereth all of his mind. Don't be one of those people that says, well, at least I say everything I think. The Bible says you're a fool if you do. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. That's God's word. Well, nobody has to wonder what I'm thinking. Yeah, sometimes it ain't too deep either what you're thinking or what I'm thinking. I'll put myself in there too. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness. How gentle are you? Be gentle with others. Don't be that one that's so abrasive and so rough and just so intimidating all the time. Because that's not the love of Christ. Hey, if you remember when Jesus went to the temple and they were changing money in the temple and they were in there selling and the Bible says that he said, you have turned my house into a den of thieves. Now, he wasn't real gentle, but that was a hill worth dying for. And he said, that's it. And the Bible says he overturned the tables, and we know that Jesus didn't sin. So we know that there are times that it's okay to come out a little bit. But there are times that we're not gentle, we're not long-suffering, that it's not anything but just ruining our testimony and not allowing the fruit of the Spirit to grow in our life. Long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, just plain old goodness, faith. And here, when it talks about faith, dependability. How dependable are you? When people look at you, there was a guy that is an acquaintance of our family, and we've known him all of our life. And sometimes I say stuff I don't know if I should say or not, but here we go. So somebody asked me one time, said, what do you think about him? I said, I don't like him. I said, that's what I thought. He said, well, you mean you don't like him? I said, because here's what it is. I said, he's a chameleon. And they said, what in the world do you mean by that? I said, whoever he's with is what he's like. If he's with Christian people, man, he's praying, shouting, reading the Bible. And if he's with lost people, he's doing whatever they're doing. And I said, I don't like playing both sides of the fence like that. I said, it's bad business for the church. It's bad testimony. It's bad everything. And I said, what I want to be around, I said, even in lost people, be who you are 100% all the time. And look, that's what the Bible's telling us right here with this faith. That's not necessarily the faith that we have in God, but it's saying be dependable, be the same, be steadfast. You may look at me, I hope that you can look at me and say, well, there's some things about Josh that I don't like, but at least he's the same everywhere he goes. Are you the same everywhere you go? Do we change? Are we a chameleon? Look, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. As you look at that word temperance, self-control, harness your passions. We talked about that, and I told you a story about me a week or so ago. I'm not going to go back into that. But are you temperate? Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So, look in verse number 24 again. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh. Have you really crucified your flesh? Because if these things are not evident in our life, then that means our flesh is trying to rise back up in us. And again, this is a daily thing. It may be hourly. It may be by the minute that you have to work on these things and you have to go, okay, wait a minute. I'm not being too long-suffering right now. I'm not being the same everywhere that I go. I'm not having joy. I'm not having peace. And these, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. Y'all do live in the real world with me, right? We all live in the real world. I mean, y'all are kind of looking at me like tonight, like, what in the world, preacher? He's over there in left field by himself tonight. But this is real world stuff. If we want to live the good life and have the fruit of the Spirit in our life, these are some things that we got to pay attention to in our life. And yeah, I wished that when I got saved that a little magic fairy dust fell from heaven and it just sprinkled all over me and it turned me into what God wanted me to be that very instant. But you know what? It didn't work like that. I am a work in progress and sometimes I'm a work in regress. It seems like I do this from time to time. Bible says, if you'll crucify your flesh, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, listen, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Talk the talk and walk the walk. It's tough, ain't it? It's tough. I've told y'all before, I'm glad that we don't come here on Sunday mornings. Maybe we'll start doing this. We'll just start drawing us a name out of the hat. And whoever's turn it is, we're going to put a video camera on you for a week. And the next Sunday morning, we're going to play your life on the big screen. Anybody want to sign up? No, me either. Me either. Because it's nice to come in here and sit down on a pew and get God's word out and go, oh, God's just wonderful. And God is wonderful. But sometimes I live in the Spirit because the Holy Spirit moved into my life when I was 7 years old. But just be straightforward. We don't always walk in the Spirit, do we? We don't always have these attributes in our life. We don't always have this fruit growing in our lives. And let me just make a quick note of this because we're going to talk in a couple of weeks of right here we're looking at what's going to be evident in my life if I live the good life. And in a couple of weeks, we're going to look at what do I get if I live the good life. Well, think about it like this. The Bible instructs us as Christians that if we're going to live the good life, that this fruit should be evident in our life. Again, one fruit, all this is together. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. But you want to know what? Just because you're trying to live it and practice it and walk in the Spirit, don't expect it back. Because this cruel, wicked world is not going to give you these things back. Matter of fact, probably the harder that you try, the more that you pay attention to these attributes in your life and this fruit that's in your life and trying to live the good life, the more the devil's going to come against you and try to pull you away from that. The more he's going to come and say, okay, let's just see if you're going to be long-suffering. Let's just see if they're going to have joy and peace. Let's just see if I can make them worry or not. It's coming. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Look, there's three things that's mentioned in verse number 26, and I'm only going to touch one for just a minute. Let's not be desirous of vainglory. Or in other words, let's not desire for the glory to be about us. Because I want to tell you something. If I get to where I have long suffering the way that I should have, it's going to be only because God has strengthened me and allowed me to be long-suffering. So I don't need to walk around and just go, well, I'm just long-suffering. I'll give people chances. And man, because we get to say an I too much. And then all the way back to the second lesson, he's not increasing. We're making him decrease and we're trying to increase in our life. That's no longer living the good life. Be not desirous or however you want to pronounce that, of vainglory. It's not about you and I. It should be about him. Provoking one another, envying one another. I know that some of these lessons of living the good life, maybe some of them will be some of those that makes us smile as we read them. Maybe some of these scriptures will be scriptures that just make our heart tingle and get all warm. But as I read this scripture and as I studied this scripture this week, there are so many things in here that I need to work on, that I need to go, okay, I'm doing okay in this one, but I'm letting these two over here slide. But you know, it's a full package, the fruit of the Spirit. It did say works of the flesh, but this is fruit of the Spirit. Are these things evident in our life? If we're living the good life, they will be. Now, if we're not, you can about go to the opposite of all these, and you can be just one wretched, ill, grumpy. I mean, I sit there at that ball game tonight. I get tickled at people. Now, don't get me wrong. I get to bullying on the inside, and I get to coaching my kids a little bit. I don't know if you call it coaching or, come on, girl, you got to box out. I mean, that's my coaching from. But I will talk to my kids, but I think I have got to where I don't fuss at referees and stuff. I'll let you know in a week or two. But I sit there and listen to people, and I'm like, what in the world? What are you doing? Now, listen, I'm putting the picture on me right here. But I go, why are you screaming at that poor old ref? He obviously don't know anything about the game. I mean, everybody here can see that he doesn't know anything. And it's what nobody we go to church with, okay, that was a referee in these games tonight. I know we got a couple of referees in the church. He obviously don't know anything about the game. But when that last buzzer goes off and your kid crawls in your car, and after you talk bad about the coach for a few minutes and bad about the ref for a few minutes, life's going to go on, okay? But what about all these people that have sat around you for the last hour and a half? Because here's the thing. Life goes on. The game's over. The score won't matter. In a year from now, nobody will even know who won this ball game. But there's somebody around you that will remember how you acted at that ball game. If I stood up and lost my cool, lost my testimony, there's somebody around me that's going to remember exactly what I done. You know, we're living a day and time where the eyes are on the church. Most of you probably seen the newspaper this morning. So sad, one of the headings that was in the newspaper. Have no clue what the situation is, don't know anybody involved, but one of the situations that was there, I look at it and go, man, this how in the world? Because not only did this person make some really bad choices, but he just tried to give the church a black eye, or he did give the church a black eye. Oh, look what that said. Look what that did. And you know what? If we're not careful, if we don't let this fruit be evident in our lives, we'll give. Now, I'm not talking about fellowship. I'm talking about the church. We'll give the church a black eye if we're not careful. Let's let this stuff be evident in our life. You see me struggling with one? Pray for me. If I see you struggling with one, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to come call you out. I'm going to pray for you. God can help us to where this fruit gets evident in our lives so that people can see that we're living a good life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for all your many blessings. And God, I just got to ask you just to forgive me tonight for the things that I fall short in, for the things that are part of the fruit of the Spirit that are living the good life that I fail and come short. And God, I want my life to give you glory. I want my life to stand out. I want it to point others to the cross. And God, I know that if I allow this fruit to be evident in my life, that someone will see something different, and maybe it'll be something that they desire in their life. God, help me that I will do all the things that I'm supposed to do, that I will walk away, that I'll crucify the flesh, that I will have temperance and control my life in order that you may use me. And God, help us all that we'll always live a life that reflects you. And in Jesus' name that I pray, amen.